Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Emmanuel and Brother John Bosco, and we'll hear a reflection and much more. Well, welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guests are Father Emmanuel and Brother John Bosco. I had recently did some mission work with them, and we invited them back to tell us some of their own stories, what drew them to the Franciscans and their spiritual conversions that they had in their life. So we're now going to go to a video with Brother John Bosco.
My name is Brother John Bosco. I'm a Franciscan friar of Lanuro, and I just had some thoughts recently about prayer and something that's changed the way I pray. When I begin praying now, I just come into the presence of God, and I'm aware that there is a wonderful God who loves me, who cares for me, and wants to communicate himself to me more than I want to communicate with him. And that's been a great gift for me. So now I just come into the presence of the Lord, and I just open up my heart to him. And I've just become very much aware that he is there and that I am deeply loved. And then after a while of soaking in the presence of the Lord, I then find myself speaking to him and responding to that love. So a scripture might come to mind, or I might take a scripture from the day and just use that word to just feed my prayer. And also things come up from myself, which initially I would have thought as distractions. And some things are distractions, and I found a way of dealing with those. It's just writing them down and saying, I'm going to deal with those later. But some things come up that seem to be distractions but aren't. And they're the things that God wants me to look at. So in this loving presence of God, I'm able to just look at these things. And honestly, I've received great healing from those things. Things that maybe in the past I didn't want to look at because they were too painful, I'm finding now when the pain comes up, it's just to bring it to the Lord and say, what's that about? What's that about? And he will give insights into that. And then healing will come. So just a few insights about how to pray.
Father Emmanuel, Brother John Bosco, welcome to Life on the Rock. And I wanted to get you back on to talk about some of your work. You all are, you're both from England, merry old England.
That's right.
And as a friar, you've done apostolates there and work there. So I want to talk about that aspect, but first let's talk about your conversions. So Brother John, we'll start with you. Tell us your story.
Yeah, I was born into a Catholic family in England. And grew up as a Catholic. And when I was a teenager, I went to a boarding school. I got a scholarship, and I was very unhappy there. And so the way I dealt with it was by being a rebel. So I chose just to.
Which is something I would never guess.
You know me well. So I really fell away from the church. Got into lots of really crazy things. And when I left school at 18, I said, I'm not going to university. I just want to live an adventure. I ended up getting a one-way ticket to Berlin in Germany. And I lived there for almost 2 years. And I carried on that kind of lifestyle of partying. And I know now, looking back, that I was looking for goodness, for love, for truth, for beauty. But I was looking in the wrong places and, you know, doing the drugs and the partying. But when I was there, I realized I had to leave that city because it was very dangerous for me to stay there. I could see myself just going down and down. And I came back to London, and I got a job working for an American cookie company while I waited to begin studies. And one of the things we did was go out onto the street with freshly baked cookies. People would eat the samples that we gave them, then hopefully come in and buy loads of cookies. And so one day I was in a shopping center, and there was a group of young men, and one of them saw the cookies, and he came running, and he tripped over just in front of me. And when he stood up, he just hit me like that very hard. And it was a shock to me, and I went back into the shop. And that night, as I was going down the escalator to the underground station,
like the shock kind of took effect. And all the life that I had built over those previous years kind of fell down like a pack of cards. All the things that I trusted and believed in, the false philosophies, you know, pleasure, whatever it was, and I had nothing. And for the first time in my adult life, I began to pray, and I made a prayer. I didn't know that God existed. I'd rejected God. But I said, God, if you exist, show me. God, if you exist, show me. I made that prayer for about 2 weeks. Mm. And then I walked into a store in Covent Garden in London and randomly went over and picked up a book. And I opened it up, and what I read on that page described exactly my life. It said, shock. You've had a shock. You're in a deep, deep, dark pit. Everything you've put your trust in has failed you. You cannot go back to any of those things. There's only one way out, spiritual development. Mm. And that was my conversion. I knew that God was real. And then I began to say, okay, God, I know you're real. I want to do your will. There's so many religions in the world. Which is the right religion? And I began to research all the different religions.
And you had gone to a prestigious boarding school?
Yeah, Catholic boarding school.
And you'd studied music? But you feel like you just kind of rejected all that.
I rejected all of it, big mm-hmm. time, yeah. And I think the sin was the rejection of it.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think motivated that rejection? I think so many of our young people today are rejecting like organized religion. Yeah. What is at the heart of that, you think?
Yeah, I didn't know about that mm-hmm. living relationship with Jesus Christ that mm-hmm. I now have. Religion seemed to me authoritarian and kind of a bit distant. It was like old covenant, you know, keep the rules. Mm-hmm. And, you know, teenagers don't want to keep the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
So your next step was what was your next step?
My next step was to start reading about all the different religions. Yeah. I had a fascination with just studying, and especially Taoism, Buddhism, read some Islam, uh-huh. And of course Christianity. And as I was reading, it became clearer and clearer to me that Christianity is very different from all these other religions. Very different, because they were all about, like, if you follow this certain path, it's what you do to get to God or to get enlightenment or to get to heaven or paradise. You have to do something. You follow this thing. And Christianity says you can't do it by yourself. It's impossible. That's why God became one of us and sent his son Jesus, you know, to die for our sins. Yeah. And so when I realized that, I knew that Jesus was asking me to give my life to him, and I didn't want to give everything. I was like, does that mean everything? And it was like, yes. And I struggled with that for a few months, actually. But I got to a point one day that I realized, I went home one night, I had a picture of Jesus in my mind on the cross. And I felt him saying, if you had been the only person in the universe, I would have done this for you out of love. I would have died for you. Mm. And I had the grace, I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you everything. And the most important decision I've ever made in my life. Mm. And then after that, I started going back to church. I went to a church 20 miles away because I didn't want anyone to know that I was doing it. but eventually I started going back to confession, the sacraments and the Eucharist. And that was since then, you know, thank God.
And the charismatic renewal had a huge impact.
Yes. Yeah, so after a few years, I was studying piano music technology at college, and I went to live in an old presbytery, we call the priest's house a presbytery, mm-hmm. and the priest there invited me to a charismatic meeting the first night I moved in, and I went along, and I was a bit freaked out by all these people with their hands in the air and, you know, singing, but what really touched me deeply was I could see the joy and the love on their faces. You know, these people were genuinely joyful and genuinely happy, not only during the prayer meeting, but afterwards as well. Mm-hmm. And so I began to go to the prayer meetings and did a life in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think with the life in the Spirit, I think sometimes the word baptism in the Spirit, that those words can confuse people, mm-hmm. but you can look upon it as a release of the Spirit, a mm-hmm. release of what I received at baptism and confirmation mm-hmm. was released. And that was a big thing for me. The lordship of Jesus in my life.
I know that comes across in your witness so much. I know we were in Ethiopia on a mission trip. You know, that is just front and center for you, like the relationship, the personal relationship with Jesus. And What would you tell like a young person today that's really struggling with that? Well, how do I get that relationship?
Yeah. I think there's, you know, one of the lies of the devil is that if you give your life to Jesus, you're going to be unhappy. This is one of the lies that's around, that God is going to start taking things away from you. But the opposite is true. If you give your life to Jesus, you will find the meaning in your life. You will find the true meaning of your life, and you will find true happiness. Yeah. Because there's an infinite desire in each one of us that only Jesus can infinitely fulfill.
Right. And then your work today, often you do a lot with music. Yeah. And how do you see that? Because you like do traditional, you love traditional music, but also like praise and worship. Yeah. What is the role of music in our spiritual lives?
Yeah, I think music plays a big role. Famous quote from Augustine, of course, you know, he sings praise twice, but there is something about that, you know, especially like the praise and worship we have at the prayer meetings, and there's something that just opens up the heart. It's a heart thing. It's a way of getting from our heads to our heart. You know, we can know a lot about God. We can know a lot about what he's done, but to actually experience him, music does help us to do that.
Mm. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Father Emmanuel's witness. So we'll be back in just a minute. Father Emmanuel, I wanted to hear your story, and just a little quick thumbnail. I know you give a lot of talks, you travel, you give talks, and you're a great preacher. I heard you preach in Ethiopia, and you have gifts of prayer. Somebody else was commenting that too. I don't know if it was at a Focus conference, but you're praying over people and things. Sometimes getting a word can be very powerful. And and two, your witness of the life is beautiful. You know, just very Franciscan spirit. And are you related to Father Andrew Apostoli?
He's my spiritual father. Yeah, people say that.
But you grew up in England.
Yeah.
As a true English person, right? You love soccer. That was a big part of your life. What happened to you?
Yeah, so I grew up in England. England is, Catholic population is very small, so about 10%, and which is about 6-7 million people, but only 15% of those practice. Mm-hmm. So it's small, about 1 million out of 60 million people practice in England. Mm-hmm. And so we were a family that practiced. So just by that, it's sort of known as a religious family, though we weren't very religious. We just went to Mass on Sundays. Yeah. But I grew up with faith, thankfully. My mom's Catholic, my dad isn't. So I felt close to God as a kid, and then went to high school and just, thankfully, I carried on going to Mass because that's what you did in my family, but just kind of got myself lost a little bit, you know, just looking for acceptance and love. And it's a similar little bit to Brother John Bosco, although not quite as wild. Just partying, drinking, you know, girlfriends, just trying to fit in, really. And I had done well in high school, you know, I was captain of the soccer team, I had pretty good grades, I had a decent number of friends. And so if you looked at my life on the outside, you'd say, oh, this guy's doing well, you know, has it together. But on the inside, I was kind of insecure and just always looking to sort of just find my place. And that just led me to other things that I knew were wrong. So I graduated high school and I took a gap year, which is common in Europe, just to take a year to travel and work before going on to university. And it was during that year, my sister and my girlfriend, they started going to a charismatic prayer group. And I was just like, why would you go to church on Wednesday? You don't have to, you know? And it's my sister, she's younger than me. Yeah. And it was beautiful because she really witnessed to me in a simple way. Like, I think that's the power of witness. When you know someone and you trust them and you see something in them that is intriguing for you.
Right.
And that was intriguing for me, like, what is going on?
Right.
So she, after a few weeks of this, she said to me, why don't you come? You always ask me about it. Mm-hmm. So I went on this retreat, and I always laugh because now, you know, retreats have these cool names like Seek or Ascend or The Source. This was called a Jesus weekend. Straight up, no messing. You know, it's February, I think, 1992. I was 18 years old. You know, we were just talking in the break. I had long curly hair, earring. Everything I wore was designer. So I was sort of super into myself.
Yeah.
But I went and just searching.
Yeah.
Just really searching. I'd always believed in God, but he felt like a principle in the sky. Mm-hmm. You know, distant, aloof, kind of cared about you, but mm-hmm. from this far away, and had like a little book.
Right.
That sort of, but when I got there on this retreat, first of all, it was charismatic. I'd never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. You know, just a normal Catholic guy. Mm-hmm. People raising their hands, right. praise and worship music. So first of all, it freaked me out. So I stood at the back, like a lot of kids at retreat,
just
scared, but hungry. And then they started to talk about that, their testimonies. And that intrigued me. Mm. Talking about Jesus, not like a historical figure, someone you admire from the past, but someone real here and now. And so at a certain point, I just prayed. They gave us time to pray. And I just went into my room and I simply said, Jesus, I want to know you. Mm. In other words, I see something in them, and if you're real, I want to know you. I'm hungry. And this thought just came to me, you're afraid. You're afraid to change. Mm. And I knew that was true. Mm-hmm. I knew that was true, because I'd worked hard in my teenage years to cultivate this kind of cool image, to belong, to fit. And suddenly, there's this thought, like, you want something, but you don't want to let go of your own life. And then he did a drama about the crucifixion of Jesus that night. And just very simply said, you know, he loves you. He died so that your sins could be forgiven. I was really moved. There was a grace of the Holy Spirit for me that pierced my heart. I knew it was true. And I started to cry. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was leading my small group, he just said to me very simply, he said, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And that was a sober moment, because I knew that was something real was involved. If I said yes to the Lord, like, things would change for me. But I wanted a relationship with him. And so I said this simple prayer, just surrendering. You know, I sort of said the wheel of my life. You know, up to that point, I was driving the car, and God was like, maybe the spare wheel, maybe, in the trunk somewhere way back. And suddenly I said, I want you to drive, and I'll sit in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And then the next day, they prayed with us for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that was powerful. I just experienced this literally power running up and down my body. And it was something new. And what I came away with from that weekend, 18 years old, is God is real. And he loves me. And he wants a relationship with me.
Yeah.
And so then things carried on from there.
Well, talk about you're drawn to the Franciscans. Why was that when you started searching for community?
So after I had my conversion, I started to pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Because it's a little bit like falling in love. Mm-hmm. I felt very loved by God. Mm-hmm. And there was this newness to it. I felt my sins had been forgiven. And then this thought would come to me, be a priest. Mm. And I didn't want to be a priest. I just didn't want to be a priest. But at some point, I surrendered, and I went to seminary for my diocese when I was 20. And while I was at seminary, I read the life of St. Francis, a book called God's Fool. And I remember reading it and thinking, whoa. Yeah. Like, St. Francis completely sold out.
Right.
Like, I was, like, a little bit sold out.
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit sold out, unfortunately. but I just read, I was just very attracted by his radicality, and his joy. So how can you have nothing and be joyful?
Right.
Like, he just took Jesus at his word.
Yeah.
Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me.
Right.
And he seemed like throughout his life just to constantly be responding in that radical way.
And we just got like a couple minutes left. When you're out there preaching, and maybe to young adults, what's the core of your message you find yourself talking a lot about to the young adults out there?
Yeah. I mean, it depends sort of what you're asked to. I would say there's two aspects that I really enjoy preaching about, is the kerygma, so the basic gospel message, because that changed my life.
Right.
The power of God's word to sort of reorient you. Then the other thing is the joy of evangelizing and the need to share what we've been given. Because I think sometimes young adults, if they're committed in their faith, it's like a holy huddle.
Yeah.
We hang out together, we go to the events together, we go to the pub together, but we don't really share it because we're not confident.
Yeah. Share what we've been given, our experience.
Yeah.
Well, Well, brothers, thank you so much for joining us and your witness. It was a joy working with you in Ethiopia, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, Father Mark. It's good to be with you.
I really enjoyed talking with Brother John Bosco and Father Emmanuel. You know, what stands out to me in their stories is just cultivating that relationship with Jesus, that God is real. He sent His Son, Jesus, for us to suffer and die for us. He wants to have a relationship with us. You know, I did some mission work with them, and they are deep men of prayer and witness in their lives. That, you know, they're witnessing to that simplicity of the Franciscan life and following Jesus wholeheartedly. You know, it's a message for everyone that we all are called to put Jesus first. You might not be in a religious order, but He needs to come first in our life. We need to have that relationship with Him, that conversation. You know, I just encourage you to, if you don't know where to begin, just begin by talking to the Lord, telling Him about your day, you know, asking Him for help, praising Him, thanking Him for the good things in your life, you know, all that He does every day for us. We have a lot of material to share in our interior with the Lord, and He wants to grow closer, in mutual knowledge of each other, we could say. And as Brother John said so beautifully, He doesn't take anything away from us. He gives us the greatest things in life, a relationship with Him. He gives us joy and peace, you know, a new happiness, a new purpose, a new direction in life. You know, we're so afraid of losing certain things of the world, but focus on God. He is everything. So send you into the world with that blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He give you the gift of heartfelt prayer. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.